Father, we thank you. What a privilege it is to once again come to worship you. And as the word is proclaimed, we ask that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that you would touch each of our lives again today, and that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that the God of heaven is always doing something good. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'd like to thank Pastor Sam and Jeff for their leadership here. And I'm really proud of you. Looks like the church is doing well. And I tell you, it does my heart good to see that. You have been a blessing to us. And just like to share that my wife and I, we do continue our prayer walks. And one of the things that we specifically do in prayer is if you have a business or something that you work in, if you'll let us know, we call out specifically the business that we know of here in Fallbrook. We call them out specifically and pray for them. And then when we come back and see that the church is doing well and giving, then we believe that God is answering prayer. So if you have a business, you need a job or whatever, let us know. We'll write that down. And then we walk almost an hour, so we have time to get in a whole lot. And we call specifically your businesses. So would you do that? And we'll continue to make that a matter of prayer, and the church will be blessed because of it. Amen. I also would ask, solicit your prayers. I shared this in the first service, but I really need your prayers. My wife's identity has been stolen in the past 6 months, and that's a real pain. We have traced it back to a person in 1989 in New York that served time in jail for drugs, but you don't want that on your name if you didn't do that. And so that's on my wife's name, and it has caused quite a headache. And my wife has volunteered in the schools, and we do a lot of work with the schools, but that's kind of put that on hold because you have to do background checks, and that has really been. So would you pray about us when you pray? Just remember Brenda Jones, the real one. thank you. A sermon for this morning or this afternoon, the title is Beginning. Beginning. I believe that God works throughout our lives, but there's something about working at the beginning. There's something about beginning that's very, very special. And I want to just say this, and you'll hear me say it over and over again, but I want you to believe this with all your heart, that I believe that the God of heaven is always doing something good. Amen. I need to hear that. When I tell you that somebody has stolen my wife's identity, I have to believe that the God of heaven is always doing something good. And I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, if you would. Genesis chapter 1, and I'd like to look at several verses and have you help me out there in Genesis chapter 1. First, we'd like to go to verse 4 of Genesis chapter 1, and this is what the Bible says as you turn there. And God saw the light, that it was what, everybody?
Good.
That's the verse that I want. I wanted to emphasize the good. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was
good.
Oh, you're talking to me. I feel good. I feel like I'm home. Because I want to let you know that the God of heaven is always doing something good. Now then look at verse 12. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was what, everybody?
Good.
It was good. And if you go down into verse 18, you'll see that, and God saw that it was good. Now, I want you to let you know that this is no accident. We read this and we keep on going. But I believe that God wanted us to know from the very beginning about him. God wanted you to know that the God of heaven is always doing something. What, everybody?
Good.
Oh, you got to believe that. You know why that's so important today? Because it's harder and harder to find something good. Oh, it's getting real hard. And God knows that you need to go back to Genesis and see that God, the God of heaven, is always doing something. What, everybody?
Good.
Oh, I believe that. I got to believe it. I have to believe it because it's getting difficult. There's something about the beginning. The God of heaven is our creator. And he is the creator of the very good. At the end, he says the very good. What God starts, he completes. And then when he completes it, then he commemorates it. Or he memorializes it. That's why we have the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation of the God who is always doing something good. Amen. And if the Sabbath is not good, you're missing something. Amen. And then from a practical sense, when God gives life from the very beginning, when a child is born, the child takes a breath. And that's good. When a child starts their first day of school, there are other kids, and you're wondering as you go to school. When I went my first day of school, I was scared. But when I got there, you know what I found out? That there were kids the same size as me, and they were scared too. That's what you learn from the beginning. There's something to be learned from the beginning. And when you're married, first day of marriage, we're excited and we're scared. All at the same time, and we're wondering, did I make the right decision? Ask Kim K. Oh, y'all missed that. Ask Kim K. We're always wondering, did we make the right decision? When we get a new job, our first day on the job, we want to impress the boss that he did right by hiring us. We want to impress our boss. And then on the first day of boot camp, we just miss home. Am I right, Paul? We just want to be back home. And then when we have our first babies, the first thing we wonder after the first day is, will I ever get a good night's sleep again? There's something to learn from beginnings. And then what I discovered as a chaplain in the military, when death comes, and one of the things that I discovered that for young troops in the military, that they usually encounter some of their first death of a meaningful relationship, it's usually their grandparents, and they're really broken up by that. Grandparent passes, troops really get upset by that. Sometimes other folk don't understand that, but that sometimes it's the closest relationship to you, and when that person dies, you know what they want to know? Will I ever see them again? Because many times we've had to pass death notices when we were out to sea. And sometimes we were so far away that they could not get back in time enough for the funeral. You want to know, will you ever see them again? There are some events dealing with beginnings that are so dramatic that they almost appear to start a beginning again. In fact, there's one professor, Stephen Walt, a professor at Harvard University, listed the events that he felt changed the last decade. Now, I'm going to read what he says and see which one that one of the two that you could pick out that you really think impacted the world. This is what he had to say. The inauguration of President Bush, 9/11, the Beijing Olympics. Now, again, I didn't pick this. This is Professor Walt. The crash of the stock market in 2007. And this one was a learning for me because I did not know about this one, but I learned something. He said the presidency of Lula da Silva in Brazil. I wouldn't have picked that as an event that changed the world in essence, but he did because he felt that Brazil had become such an economic power and that it was amazing for an individual who didn't learn to read until he was 10 and didn't go to college. Then he said also that one of the things that impacted the last decade that changed things was the power of Turkey, the country of Turkey. Another thing that he says was the failure of the Middle East process, and that still goes on today. And then the shrinking of the Arctic sea ice, and then Mother Nature striking back, and there's been a lot of that in the last year or two. And then this final one, the blogosphere. In other words, the web. Which of those 10 do you think really changed the decade? Anybody care to guess? You can pick. I mean, there's no wrong. 9/11. I thought someone would say that. Thank you. Anything else? Anything else that comes out? Blogosphere. I left my, I don't have my cell phone on me. But we carry the internet in our pockets. I mean, think about that. We carry, when my wife and I get a little turnaround on the highway, I tell my wife to pull out your cell phone, and she pulls it out, and the GPS tells us where to go. Come on, it's amazing. I mean, that's really changed things. The God of heaven is always doing something good. He started at creation, and he didn't stop there. When the church was beginning, the God of heaven that's always doing something good did something good again. He gave to the church a gift. Acts chapter 2, you can turn there. I think most of you know it. Acts chapter 2, God gave to the church. This is what every church must have. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? Can a church exist without the gift of the Holy Spirit? It can't. That's what God gave to the church at the very beginning. Now, what happens, most people confuse what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. We think that is jumping and shouting and falling back and saying Jesus 100 times as if God can't hear and all of those things. Now, you may do those things, but that's not what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. The gift of the Holy Spirit to the church is to cause repentance. And when we repent and give our hearts to Christ, guess what we have? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? We start witnessing and telling others. I told you the God of heaven's always doing something good. So he gave to the church the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Joel chapter 2, in verses 28 to 32, and Acts chapter 2, in verse 16 through 21, Joel gives a prophecy, and in Acts, the prophecy is partially fulfilled, so that the church can witness. Now, I said partially fulfilled. And so God did not stop there doing something good at creation and at the beginning of the church. God says in the last days, I'm going to do something good again. And so he gives to the last day church a message. That's the message that was read by Savannah. Revelation chapter 14, 6 through 12. And so there was a great religious revival at the end of the 1700s and the middle of the 1800s, and there are a number of churches that rose up, including the Jehovah's Witnesses and their 7 million adherents today, and the Mormons and their 14 million people who belong to their church, and the Seventh-day Adventists with their 16 million plus. We came out of the Millerites, and I know October 22nd was a couple weeks ago, and we came out of the Millerite movement, and Miller said that Jesus was coming in 1844, October the 22nd, to be more exact. Now, we know Jesus didn't come, but that does not mean that something good did not happen. Amen. You see, in 1844, God rose a people. A people rose up to proclaim to the world the everlasting gospel. Not a new gospel, but an eternal gospel. People came who were willing to tell the world to come out of Babylon and warn the world about false worship and to worship the true and living God on the true day. The Sabbath. There were people who came to tell the world that Jesus was coming soon. From 50 members to over 16 million, the 12th largest religious body on the planet. That was not an accident. And when we use the terminology, three angels' message, we do a disservice if we don't say messengers. Three angels is not enough. So God raised up 16 million. That's where you come in. You see, the God of heaven is always doing something good. You are one of the angels. And God wants you to witness to your neighbors that he is good. But you got to believe that yourself. I want you to know that the God of heaven is always doing something good. And so in 1844, the God of heaven, this is the good news, begins to vindicate to the universe that we are safe to join the heavenly host. Because Jesus is coming soon. And so he goes through names. And he gets to Michael Kelly's name. And he gets to your name, Michael. And you start shivering. And then Jesus comes over and stands right next to you. And he puts his arms around you. And his righteousness makes the difference. And then he keeps on going down the list. And he gets to my name. And I get close to him. You know why? Because beginnings. See, I know somebody's saying, here we go, one of these feel-good sermons. God of heaven is always doing something good. You know, if I had to stand up there alone and look at my life, it's a mess. Have you ever tried to begin again? It's really never quite the same. I challenge you to go back to your old neighborhood where you used to live. It just doesn't look the same as when you were there. You ever done that? Ever drive by a place you used to live? Just seems a little run down now because you're not there. Ever try to go back to the beginning? That is hard. And if I look at my record and go back to the beginning, I am lost. There's only one way we can go back to the beginning. You ever gone back to an old church and it not seem the same? I got a text for you. James chapter 1 and verse 17. I want you to put a star by it. If you don't have a star by it, you need to put a star by it. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Because this will make the point that the God of heaven is always doing something good. James chapter 1 and verse 17, and while you're turning, I'm going to read it. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's really, the word in the original is from heaven. I told you the God of heaven is always doing something good. Every good and every perfect gift is from heaven and comes down from the Father of lights, the Father of the heavenly bodies, the original translation would say, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The planets, they may turn, the earth may turn, but in God, there is no turning. There is no variableness. God does not waver in any respect of his goodness. He is never less than perfect. He is never inconsistent. He is never faltering. He is never wavering. God is never unreliable. What God says, God does. What he is, he remains. And will always be. So Hebrews 13 and verse 5 is correct when it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I say, because we saw it in creation, the God of heaven is always doing something. What, everybody? I want to leave just a couple of things. You say, I haven't bought into it. It's been rough for me. I've had a rough couple of years. It's not been going good for me. I can list off all of these different things that are happening, and you telling me that God is always doing something good. Well, if he's not doing something good, I want you to answer, why not? I'm not going to tell you to answer. I want you to answer, why not? You know, it's very difficult to see that God is always doing something good when times are tough. But I think at those moments, we have to look just a little harder. One of the stories that came out of the 9/11 events, you may have read about a story about Brian Clark. Brian Clark was a Canadian that worked for one of the companies in the Twin Towers. Specifically, he worked in the South Tower. And he was one of four people to escape from the floor above the plane's impact. Just one of four. No one else escaped that was above the impact on the North Tower. And only four in the South Tower where Brian Clark was. when the second impact hit, Clark had his little fire helmet with a light on it. You know, the helmet had a light on it. And he was on his way up. That's what most people tend to do. And on his way up the stairwell, he met some individuals who were also on their way up. And they said, "Let's go on up together." They thought that was the way out. But on the way up, Brian Clark heard somebody below calling out for help. So he decided that he would turn around and go and help that individual. So he just started descending down. And as he got down, and he had another person with him, something told him to make a left turn. He was in stairwell C. This boy said, "Go to stairwell A." He decided that he would go and follow the voice that said, "Go to stairwell A." And he says, "I was intending to turn right. I can't explain it, but I went left." And these are his words after the fact. I'm going to give a direct quote. I'm interested by the first words he said. "And with the fullness of time, we learned that there were no stories of anybody surviving from anything other than stairwell A." I told you God's always doing something good. Didn't I tell you that? It's even more difficult when things are tough to find it. But I want to let you know it's there. God, the God of heaven, is always doing something good. You got to look for it, but it's there. That's who God is. He can't help it. There's a story, I'm just going to tell you about it. You don't even have to turn there. You know it so well. The enemies thought they had gotten God's people. They tied them up. I know you're studying Daniel, so I know you know it. They tied them up for just worshiping. They heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it's normally heated. It was so hot that the people who were going to throw them in burned up. The 3 Hebrew worthies decided, "God, I'm going in no matter what. If I don't come out, so be it." They threw them into the fiery furnace. And guess what happened? They threw 3 in, but who else was in there? Jesus himself. I told you God was always doing something good. And the more difficult it is, the more likely you are to find him. Went into the fire. Jesus was in the fire. And when they came out of the fire to begin again, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. You know, when God gets through with us, with all of our ways and habits, and he forgives us of our sins, there's not even the smell of smoke on us. Isn't that good news? I told you that God's heaven is always doing something good. And then I want to conclude with this passage. Revelation chapter, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Verse 13.
I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning. And the end, the first and the last. What good news that is. That's why in these days we have to hold on to Jesus and not let him go. I can't think of a time when it's more difficult to begin again. I mean, if they just throw something out there, you've been listening to politics, you just throw something out there, you, for all intents and purposes, you're almost ruined, whether it's true or not. You're just one moment, one incident from being having a good reputation to having a negative reputation. And it, unfortunately, it can even happen in the church. Come on, you know I'm talking truth. Unless you know that with Jesus Christ, you can begin again. Amen. Oh, what good news. What a loving Savior. So what I want you to remember is that the God of heaven is always what, everybody? Doing something good. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We see you at the very beginning at creation, showing your goodness. Why did you make all of these things? For us. You are doing something good for us. Then we see you at the beginning of the church, giving God the Holy Spirit to the church. Why? For us, so that we might witness to the goodness of God. And then, Lord, we see you again at the last day church. Why, Lord, did you give us this message of Revelation chapter 14? To let the world know that you're coming soon and that judgment is coming and you want to see your loved ones and your friends and your neighbors and the world saved through Jesus Christ. But most of all, Lord, you want us to begin again with you. And so if you, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I would be remiss if I did not end this sermon with an opportunity for you or someone out there who has not given your heart to Jesus to begin again. It's the only way you can begin again is with him. Nothing else will start you over with a perfect slate. Nothing. It's always on your record. But with Jesus, he wipes the slate clean. If you've not given your heart to Jesus and you would like to say yes to him, I just ask you to lift your hand. If you've already done that, you don't have to do it again. But if you haven't, I would like you to raise your hand. Anyone that falls into that category would like to raise your hand. You're not going to go wrong beginning with Jesus. He won't disappoint you. The world may, but he won't. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for this church. Bless each member, each family, and save us in your eternal kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen.